letters, and I know what matters. And I feel sometimes like I'd rather go blind than continue on without you.
This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We're starting off our all-music theme show today with singer-songwriter Zachary Scott Johnson. That's him in Lake Effect's performance studio playing an original tune, Rewind. The Racine native graduated from Lawrence College in 2006, and he's been on the road making music ever since. He shared the stage with artists like Sean Colvin, Keb Moe, and Lucy Kaplansky, among others. And since 2012, he's been recording a song a day for his YouTube channel. He's also been hard at work on a comprehensive cover album, well, actually albums, of songs by Tom Waits. There are about six albums worth of tunes that are soon to be released. Johnson found time in his schedule to stop by to chat with us and to play a few tunes. Let's listen to some more of Rewind.
And I don't know where I am. People walk right past me. They won't look me in the eye. Pretend not to notice when I cry. And then I'm gone again.
Zachary Scott Johnson in Lake Effect's performance studio with an original tune called Rewind. Well, Zach, welcome to Lake Effect. It is a pleasure to have you here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about that song.
It's from my most recent record, which isn't that recent anymore. It came out in 2008 was the most recent one. It came out of a writing prompt where I was supposed to write a song that had nothing to do with myself, which is about the hardest thing that I could do as a songwriter. It's really hard not to insert yourself a little bit. And so it was a character I made up that was really kind of the only way I could think to do it was to come at it from a completely different person's perspective. And so I'm a big fan of a singer-songwriter named Patty Griffin, and she said something about one of her songs one time. She said, it's a true story about somebody I made up. And that's exactly how I feel about that song now. I mean, that's the only way I can really think of it anymore.
That is such a great
yeah.
line.
Yeah.
You got your start here in Wisconsin. You are from Racine.
Yes.
And you went to Lawrence University, right?
I did.
And you I'm looking at your bio and I'm amazed. Triple threat: music, performance, theater arts, and psychology. I mean, they all tie
yeah.
together very, very nicely.
And the psychology is a wild card, I think, a little bit.
Well, I don't know. It kind of works, and I would think it would work as something that you draw on as a songwriter.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
You also found time to do stand-up.
A little bit, yeah.
And now you've been on tour. How long have you been out and about doing the singer-songwriter thing? You graduated, what, 2006?
Yeah. And so I actually started about 2001. Obviously, I was in school at the time, but I was doing a lot of summer dates and stuff. And actually, at Lawrence was really the place where I really felt like things changed for me as a singer-songwriter. I'd been writing a lot of songs when I was in high school, but I hadn't been performing very much. I'd done a few gigs, but, you can't play the bar gigs when you're that young. And so Lawrence was really interesting because it's a very small school, very small community of folks. So I was doing shows once a month or even more than that. And it was the same audience I was coming back every single time. So it had to be basically a new show every single time. And so I really feel like that was where I kind of learned a lot about performing, was right there at Lawrence. And then, like I said, I did a lot of summer dates. So I've been averaging about 75 to 100 dates a year since I graduated in 2006. Before that, it was just whenever I could squeeze some in.
Well, that's pretty respectable.
Yeah,
when
it's
you
a
think
lot.
About it, it's a lot of dates. In terms of your songwriting evolution, how mm-hmm. has being out on the road and working with the wonderful people that you've worked with, how has that informed, your newer songwriting?
Well, I'm big on influences, and I draw from a lot of different influences. I think a lot of the folks that I listen to have made their way into songs, and a lot of a lot of ideas from other singer-songwriters. It's great. I'm thinking probably later on we might talk about this YouTube thing that I have going on. And I've done a lot of collaborations with people where it's become, two people sitting in a room playing songs back and forth, myself and another songwriter. That has changed things a lot. Just getting, somebody who I really respect and admire their opinion on a song that's kind of developing, and vice versa. You know, they're sometimes comfortable enough to play me something new and kind of say, well, what do you think of this? Is this line working or whatever?
So explain to me, you're actually playing back and forth. Are you collaborating on a song, or are you just feeding each other?
Occasionally we do, but it's more of, yeah, just do you like this kind of thing? Do you think this works?
It's like reading at a reading group.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the YouTube thing, because that is an amazing thing. That's a song a day for how many days now?
680-something. We're coming up on 700. August 2nd, I'm told, will be the 700th consecutive day. Yeah, so it's a YouTube channel called The Song a Day Project. It's all one word squished together, and it's exactly what it sounds like. I record a song every day, and I put it up on YouTube. A lot of them are covers. I don't have 700 originals.
I was going to say, you're not writing a song a day. You're just performing a song a day. Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of them are covers. I've basically run out of original songs. Actually, that's another good thing, is this channel has made me a much more prolific songwriter, in that I was a very, very slow writer before this. And now I kind of have to write every couple of weeks, just because it's important to put up some original material on the YouTube thing. So
it streamlined your process a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
What has changed? What, I mean, other than the pressure to put it up there, what do you find you do faster now?
I found that the things that influence me and the things that get me to write are completely different than when I was younger. I had a very different philosophy when I was younger and just starting out, in that I should only write when I was inspired. I felt like if you tried to force it, not good stuff was happening. You know, I couldn't make it work unless I really wanted to write. And the problem with that was that I was only writing when I was kind of in not a happy place. Like, if I was in a happy place, I wasn't really feeling like, oh, I should sit down and write about this. It was only if I was feeling something besides happy that I was writing. So then my songs were all really sad and kind of dark. Now it's gotten to the point where the things that really inspire me are writing prompts. I just, like, within the last 6 months have started doing writing prompts, and they're amazing. I don't know why I wasn't doing this all along.
So describe what that is.
So somebody will give you a word, and sometimes I do. I will actually ask for this on the YouTube channel. I put up my email address on all the videos, so if people want to send requests for songs that I could do, or if they just want to tell me something, you know, they can do that. And so I'll say, hey, if anybody out there has got a good writing prompt word, you know, somebody could send me the word home, or somebody could send me the word. Well, I got some really good ones not long ago. Home was a good one. It got, you know, you could write a million songs about home, but just emotions are good writing prompts. And it's just the idea of, you know, can you make a song out of this? Or even an idea sometimes. And the other thing that's helped a lot lately, kind of bizarrely, is movies. I've found that there are several movies that have brought out songs in me. And that was something that had never happened before either.
So they elicited a certain emotion,
yeah,
or a feeling that made a song.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think of movies as doing that for people. But why not? Other art forms do.
Yep. And it's not really contemporary films that have done it. It's somewhat older movies, but just something in them. And actually, what was kind of interesting, I'll give you an example. There was a Clint Eastwood movie called Breezy that I think was maybe the first movie he ever directed. It was like 1973, something like that. He isn't in the movie. He directed it. And it wasn't even the main storyline that did it. It was a total B-story plot that really got me. Like, it freaked me out. It was so real. And I thought, well, there's something just really raw in that storyline. And I wrote a song about it that was a very uncomfortable song to write. And I almost never do it. But it's a song that, you know, exists now because of that movie. And, you know, they come out of strange places sometimes. But as long as they're coming, that's what matters.
That's the important thing.
Yeah.
Well, what is the next song we are going to hear from you? And this is an original also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is another song from that most recent record. This is called One Good Reason Why. I wrote it when I was at Lawrence, actually. I was living in a house with one other guy and 14 girls for 1 year. So got a few songs out of it, including this one. As soon as it became a little rough, you let me go. I think of you still more than I'd ever want you to know. You had to see the world and I had to let you fly. I let you go without even one good reason why. We used to lay on that ugly shag rug and laugh and talk all day.
promises are dangerous things, cause I believe what you say. And can you take my hand and look me in the eye? Turn and walk away and give me one good reason why. It's supposed to be the toughest thing you ever go through, letting someone see everything that's part of you. I'm gonna keep telling you, you gotta at least try. So go on anyway and give me one good reason why. There's no way to recover the distance between us now. There's no way to recover the joy that time and space won't allow. And I know we gave it a pretty good ride, but we didn't have enough to buy. So go on anyway and give me one good reason why. I painted myself in a corner, we fenced ourselves in good. It's always tough to walk away, but I know you think we should. And there's nothing at all I hate in the world except seeing my baby cry. So go on anyway and give me one good reason why. One good reason why. One good reason why. One good reason why.
One good reason why, Zachary Scott Johnson in Lake Effect's Performance Studio. Great song.
Thank you.
Have you had any success selling songs to other singers?
You know, that song got an inquiry from somebody, and I can't really give the name away because it hasn't happened yet, and I'm superstitious about such things.
But it could possibly
could
be
possibly.
In the works.
That's the first one that I've heard of with that I got an inquiry about it. Yeah,
that's fantastic. Well, of the music I've heard of yours, because I was listening to stuff, you know, before you came in, mm-hmm. I would be surprised if people in Nashville, say, weren't interested, because you definitely have a little bit of that sort of, it's not country, but it's certainly folk country feel to what you do.
Yeah, one of my biggest influences, I have a lot of influences, like I was saying earlier, but Lucinda Williams is a really big influence on me, and Emmylou Harris too, and they kind of, in my mind, invented that kind of Americana genre. I mean, I don't know if they would feel comfortable with that, but to me, they kind of did that, and I'm drawn to that quite a bit.
Well, and your voice fits it, too. In addition, obviously, your comfortable songwriting in that genre, but, you know, your voice and your guitar playing. I understand you also play about 8 other instruments, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so multi-instrumentalist as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite Americana, but in its own sort of way, yes. One of your other influences is Tom Waits.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the project is complete, is that correct? But it has not been released yet.
Yes. So the recording end of it is done, and it was a very strange project. I had been performing Tom Waits' material for a long time in concerts. I can't remember the last time I did a set and didn't do one of his songs. And it had occurred to me at some point that it would be good to put some of these songs together on a record and make a Tom Waits tribute CD. And so I decided one day, it was a couple years ago before I was doing this YouTube thing. And at that point, like I said, I just wasn't writing very much. And I thought, okay, well, I'm waiting for this to kind of come. Why don't I start this Tom Waits thing? So I started doing it and recorded a song, you know, the first day and then another song the next day. And I kind of let it go for a long time. And I didn't really pull myself back like I probably should have. And 4 months later, I had 130 some of his songs done.
Oh my gosh.
It was crazy. And then listening to him back, I thought, well, you know, this is as good, if not better, than anything I've done before. And I was really going to have a hard time kind of whittling that down to a single CD of 10 songs or 12 songs. And I also felt like I'd put in so much effort that it was kind of silly to do that. So it's a big project. It's 6 CDs and 125 songs of his, all that were written by him. Most of them were written about half were written just by him, and then half were written by him and his wife, who's also his songwriting partner, Kathleen Brennan. So the recording end is done. It's just we're kind of working out the logistics of putting out such a massive thing and figuring out how we can do that and have it be successful and not lose a ton of money on royalties and all of that fun stuff, because we're working directly with his people on the royalties, which is making it much easier in a lot of ways. But it's also just such a big thing. You can't really expect somebody to pay $50 for a CD, you know, at this point, even if it's a kind of a box set kind of thing. So we're trying to figure out how to do it and make it not a strange losing money right from the get-go kind of situation.
How was his reaction to this? Was he flattered to be covered?
You know what? The only thing that I heard was they asked me to send a couple of the songs, which I thought was kind of interesting. They asked me to send them some kind of demo versions of some of the stuff, and so we did. And then we heard that he and Kathleen wanted a copy of the CD. That's all I've heard directly from them. So,
well, they must like it. If they
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope it's not so they can burn it. Yeah.
Well, obviously you had 130 songs. I mean, he's been writing on albums since 1972. Did you cover the whole catalog?
Yes.
Okay.
All the way from that first record. And before we started here, you and I were talking about that first record and how amazing that first record is. Up to, and actually I think the best thing he's done is his most recent record, which is called Bad As Me. I think it was 2011 for that one. And yes, there's every single CD is represented that he's ever made. I'm doing at least one song from each record.
Now, what have you learned as a songwriter from digging into his catalog so deeply?
Oh gosh, I could talk forever on this. I mean, really, his writing and Kathleen's too is just so immense. I mean, they are just so brilliant. They can write about anything. That's the thing that blows me away, is they can write about anything. You know, a lot of songwriters can really write on a few subjects. They can write love songs and they can write, you know,
heartbreak songs.
Yeah. He can do that as well as anybody else for sure, but he can also write great political songs, you know, stuff about soldiers are big with him. You know, he's got a lot of stuff about soldiers coming back from war and all sorts of stuff. And just, I mean, watching his progression over the years is remarkable. You know, he's like a painter. He's had so many different periods. He started with kind of a singer-songwriter thing. Then there was a definite jazz period. Then there was a very blues period, you know, and he's kind of back to a singer-songwriter thing. But I mean, he's touched on so much along the way. He's had some country stuff, kind of tinged country. He never went big time country, but you know, he's just done so much in so many different genres, and so many other people in different genres have covered him. That's remarkable, too. I mean, Rod Stewart did him, but so did, you know, all sorts of jazz singers. So did, you know, all sorts of rock and roll musicians. I mean, everybody.
Do you feel at all tentative now when you try to write your own work after sitting with his stuff for so long?
No, I actually had the opposite effect, where I felt like it helped me. It helps me kind of open up a little bit more and helps me to be, I think, a little bit more honest in my songwriting. I was a little bit vague in my songwriting the first couple of records, and there is kind of a directness in his writing that's really refreshing. And I think that's kind of what people want. I think people can kind of tell if there's something kind of being guarded. And I think people like the just kind of – maybe you shouldn't say everybody, but I think folks like me kind of like real honesty in songwriting and are drawn to authenticism, you know. And
yeah, I think it's almost like you have to put yourself on the line if you want the audience to meet you there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can't hedge and expect them to make the step.
Yeah.
Are you going to take us out with some Tom Waits?
Sure.
Since we were talking about it?
Would love to.
But before you do, I wanted to say, Zach, thanks so much for stopping by and playing some music for us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. So this is a kind of later Tom Waits song. This is called Anywhere I Lay My Head. I've found myself drawn to this one as I travel around more and more. It's a great travel around song.
Head is spinning round, my heart is in my shoes. I went and set the tangs on fire. Now I must come back down.
That singer-songwriter and Racine native Zachary Scott Johnson performing a cover of the Tom Waits tune Anywhere I Lay My Head. There's a link to more information about Johnson, including his Song A Day YouTube project, from wuwm.com/legeffect. John Strelecki engineered our in-studio concert. Well, stay tuned. There's more music coming up after a break. We'll hear from local woodwind quintet Avec le Bois in Lake Effect Studio C1 when we return. You are listening to us on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.
The world is upside down, and my pockets are filled with gold. Now the clouds have covered over, and the wind is blowing cold. Don't need anybody, because I've learned to be alone. But anywhere, anywhere I lay my head, I'm gonna call my home.